Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that the opportunity you've given us to read your word doesn't appear limited. But God, I know that I don't know how many times is left to worship you. I don't know how many times more I'm going to get to worship you or to read your word to someday we're going to be in heaven, and maybe we'll long for those days of needing you so desperately. I don't know, God. I'm just grateful for today, for being able to read your word today, for being able to worship you today, for being around brothers and sisters today in the midst of a terrible, terrible world. We love you, God. We need you to be with us today to teach us what we need to know. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The last couple of weeks, guys, we've been looking at these gigantic premises. We've laid this amazing foundation. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the rapture, and last week, we talked about the second coming. And it was like this worldly encompass, this earth-encompassing thing that we've been looking at, like, wow, there's so much greater than us. And it almost seems like today, the Apostle Paul kind of switches gears to go just the opposite direction now. I think so many of us, we grow up with this, I don't recommend listening to the guy, but in my earlier days, I used to love listening to a comedian named Louis C.K. He's just such a comedic genius. I mean, as vulgar and disgusting as he can be. But he said something. You take a kid, 2, 3, 4 years old, and an adult looks at him, did you eat the ice cream? And the kid has this opportunity. Do I lie and get away with it? Or do I tell the truth? And this giant monster, beats me up. So we learn to lie. We learn to cheat. We learn to manipulate. Whatever it is that our parents screwed us up. I mean, watch this, guys. Show of hands, how many of you guys had parents that didn't screw you up? You two guys had perfect parents, did you? You too? Wow. Well, let's watch it. Let's do it this way. How many of you guys had parents that screwed you up? Righteous, I love that. She made believe she was scratching her back. She was like this. She's like, I don't want to lie in church, but I'm going to scratch my back. This is funny how the itch on my back happened the exact same time that you asked that question. We all did. None of us were perfect. I'm sure my kids all raised their hand as well. Because you do the best you can, And I think it decreases as it gets more. That's one of the reasons why you have a bunch of kids. Because, Elena, oof, poor thing. She had to deal with me as a father. Imagine having me as a father in my 20s. And then Ashlyn, and then Arlie, and then Cammie and Kiki kind of reap the benefit of me being a little bit more on the mellow side, learning a little bit more about how grace is better than law, and you hope that you don't mess them up too much. Now stay with me, I am going somewhere in this. I'm not just reminiscing. This is a very important point that I'm laying a foundation for. Brokenness, baggage we come to the Lord with, he doesn't like pull that card from us. When you come to the Lord, you get saved, you start to go to church, it's not like that brokenness is pulled out of you. You're still messed up. And you bring that messed upness to church. And you find out that there's a lot of messed up people. As a matter of fact, this is kind of the crazy thing. More people are messed up in the church than anywhere else, because that's what God did and allowed to happen in so many lives to get you to come to him. It's kind of a crazy thing. And now you're wondering who you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to be it. How are you supposed to handle things? I don't know if any of you guys know, but there's this neighborhood in New York called Brooklyn. Brooklyn is known for one thing. If you're from New York, or if you're from anywhere in that tri-state area, New York is known for one thing. I'm sorry, Brooklyn is known for one thing: drama. What? Thank you. As if to say, do tell how I'm wrong, Anita. Do tell us all how Brooklyn has no drama. Okay. Oh, was it Emily that said it?
Debbie.
Debbie, you from Brooklyn? No drama in your neighborhood, right? We used to say all the time, save the drama for your mama. And mamas are still getting the drama, yes. It's just a crazy thing. And some people, they wouldn't know what to do if they didn't have drama in their life. If they weren't creating some kind of drama, they wouldn't recognize themselves. They don't even understand what life feels like without having somebody mad at them mad at somebody else. This person said that person said this. And it's a funny thing. We used to have this dude that used to come to church here named Joe, and his family was like all Brooklynites, and they all moved down here. And he comes in my office, him and his wife are having some problems, sits in my office, and I hope he doesn't mind me telling him, even if he does, who cares? He sits down, he said, oh, we went over to my mother's house, and we served a glass of wine, and maybe I had one too many, and I walked in, and my mother didn't say hello to my wife, so my wife said, why didn't your mother say hello to me? So then she sits down, and we're sitting down there, and she gets the pasta, and guess what? My plate of pasta had less than hers, so I knew she was getting... And I'm listening to him, and listen, y'all, it's real. The drama is real. And I felt like I was at home again. But I tell you what else I felt like. I felt like I was really glad I left my neighborhood. Like, wow, I forgot how much junk we carried around. And we bring that. We bring it here. Or we bring it a big church, or a little church, or whatever church. It's just... You know, the testimony of my childhood is as such that I just couldn't stop lying. Because with my father, being a Sicilian, also brought up in Brooklyn, you get caught cutting out of school for a week, you'd shrug his shoulder and say, I don't care. Or you didn't clean your plate off, and he'd be like throwing things against the wall and freaking out. You know what I mean? He'd like beat you, smack you across the back of the head with a broom. What's the matter? So you learn how to avoid that by just lying. And lying turns into storytelling. Storytelling turns into a lifestyle. Oh, yeah, here's what happened when I was a kid, man. This is what happened. And in your head, you're like, no, it didn't. But, yeah, it did. Because if you tell yourself something long enough, you start to believe it. And you find out, especially in the church, there's so many people, their whole life is just a testimony of BS stories. No, that didn't really happen, did it? That's just something you told people to make them feel sorry for you, because you figured if they felt sorry for you, then they might like you a little more. Because the truth is, your parents never told you that you were a good person, that you were a likable chap. So you just told lies about what you really didn't do, what you really didn't go through, and now all of a sudden, you're continuing. And you get this struggle. Like, how do I let this go? How do I stop this? I'm not even sure I remember what's not real and what is real anymore myself. Why am I laying such a heavy foundation? Because today, we're going to look at the instructions that the Apostle Paul gave to people and how to deal with the little things. We talked about the second coming. We talked about the rapture. Now, you know what he talks about? Life in the church, man. Life in the church. Look at verse 12 with me, if you can. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Before we read the latter part of verse 13, I love verse 12. You see that word for admonish? God bless you. It means instruct or warn. And here's what happens. And I don't know if this ever happened to you guys. I don't know if you've ever been to a big church, because I know it don't happen here. But you know how many people go to churches and the first thing they do is say, oh yeah, this is my church, but I hate the pastor. Yeah, one time he said this and I don't agree. Then why are you going to church there? Well, I'm not going to, you know, I have a lot of friends there. It's a little ministry. Well, here's what else you get. You ready, guys? This is my favorite one. This, as a pastor, is my favorite one. People go to the church because God told me to go there. And when God tells me to leave, that's when I leave. But you're trashing the pastor. You're trashing the elders. You're stabbing them in the back with your words. I don't understand. If you don't like the guy that God has placed as the angel of the church, as the messenger of the church, then why would you stay there? Because God told me to be here. I'll leave when God tells me to leave. Did you talk to him? Did you talk to her? I mean, I realize there might be some of you guys. Let me depart from this. Let me explain something to you. There's a few different personality traits. You'll see there's two kinds of people basically in this trait category. One is called pragmatic, and the other one is called static. The static people are really, really, really good at details. What's in front of them? They're OCD. You give them something to do and they will finish it all the way. The pragmatic people, they can't do little things. They do everything at once. They do this and they do this and they do this and they do this and they do this. This. And anything that's wrong, okay, we'll put that here. Well, you didn't finish that yet. That's okay, it'll get finished later. Those are pragmatists. Guess which one I am? I'm a pragmatist. Just throw it all at me now. Just throw it on my plate. Give me another plate. Put some more stuff on it. But here's the problem with static people. If you say something to them while they're focused on something, you're not going to get a reaction you like usually. Static people, focused, OCD, they're looking at this and you try to talk to them. Wait a second, I'm doing something. And if there's a person like that that happens to be in the church and they do that to you, you go, oh, person was rude to me. In the church? You know you're in a church, right? Oh, my. I'm offended. The first time I went to a men's conference, one of these guys asked me to share my testimony. And I'm pretty sure he regrets it. I had been walking with the Lord for about 12 or 15 months. I was brand new in the Lord. I was actually leaving for prison in just a couple weeks. I got saved, and then some stuff I did before I got saved, what we call roll downhill on me. I had to wind up doing a year in prison. And they asked, oh, could you tell your testimony? So I was like, yeah, you know, all right. So we got together. I'll never forget. We were on this big baseball field, and they're like, and I was like, look, I got to be honest with you. Guys, all y'all like a bunch of fags to me. And the pastor looked at me and he was like, what did you just say? I was like, yeah, you know, when I was in the world, we had skin this thick. We talked about each other's mothers. We used guinea, wop, Jew, kike, spick, nigger. We didn't care. We didn't care what we said ever. We were all friends. here in the church, oh, if you say something I don't like, oh my goodness, I am offended. I had no friends. I left the world, and the best part about the world was I had brothers, man. Back to back, blood in, blood out, brothers. And here in the church, I was surrounded by a bunch of dress-wearing men who were personally offended if you said something to them. I'm sorry to offend you guys with all those harsh words, but it wasn't trying to be hyperbolic. I was trying to be sincere and say, listen, I'm serious. And then I started meeting. I remember praying one day specifically. I was in my house, I was on my knees praying, and I was like, Lord, you know, if there's something that's going to make me go back in the world, it's going to be these lack of brothers. Because I need brothers in my life. I need guys that aren't going to be personally offended when I say something. You know, I was playing softball. I got saved, and months later, I was playing softball on a team. And one time, the bases were loaded. I popped out, and I flipped the bat down. And the guy was like, oh, my goodness. You know, this is a church league. I was like, what are you talking about? I just popped out with the bases loaded. This is a church league. Like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. So there I am praying. And the Lord said so clearly to me, I am your brother. And I said, yeah, but you're not like there. I mean, you're there, but you're not there. And he so spoke, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. I've used this analogy before. You guys ever see the little things they sell that like little pills and you buy them for the kid and you put them in the water and all of a sudden the next day it's like this big? It's like a little sponge. Yeah. That's how God speaks to me sometimes. It's like he somehow just puts this little thing in me, but it's really, really big all at once. It's not like I told you. If I'm telling you a story, I tell you the beginning. He just puts it, and all of a sudden, it's like all there. I don't know how to explain it, but. And he said, if you put me in that place in your life, I will be what you're looking for. And it was revelatory to me. It was epiphany. It was a real epiphany. And so I did. I started talking to myself and putting the Lord in that place of, all right, God, I'm not going to leave the church. I'm going to stick around, but I'm not going to hang out at church anymore because I'm going to wind up killing one of these guys. And, you know, look, I know that sounds weird coming from the pulpit and from a pastor, but I'm serious, guys. I don't like that. I don't like weak people. I don't like fake people in my life. I don't like two-faced people. I don't like people that are, you know, what we used to call pearl clutchers. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you said that. Clutch your pearls around me, please. And God did something amazing after I did that. He started bringing me solid brothers. Brothers who, well, some of them are still here. Dean, Dan, these guys who you could sit and talk to who were like, thank God somebody's real around here. Me and Dean used to go over to this guy's house and play hockey. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever played hockey, but we played it in like an office space. And Dean, he wasn't a real good softball player, but Dean was a good hockey player. Full contact hockey. Yeah, he would, no pads. And he'd like hip check a guy into the wall, into the office wall. Dean, they go, Dean, take it easy. And I'd be like, oh my goodness. We're playing hockey. You want to play Tiddlywinks? That's the building around the corner. Just, And it's so frustrating. He's like, man, I don't like this whole Christianity thing all of a sudden. I love being forgiven of my sins. I love knowing that God had led me through my life to bring me to this point in time, but his people were just like, ugh! You follow me? But it took God making me lonely, putting him in that place of taking away my loneliness with his spirit, for him to say, okay, now I can open the doors. I met Matt, what is it now, 18, 19 years ago, maybe more than that? I met him in a jiu-jitsu class, found out he was saved. It's like, other Christians do jiu-jitsu? Because the guys that say they're Christians, most of them that I met that were jiu-jitsu, they weren't real Christians. Maybe they were Catholic, but they never went to church, they slept around, they did stupid crap. Stuff that I couldn't do. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So here's the thing, guys. Myself, Marty, Dean, Steve, Brian, these guys are over, quote unquote, some of you in the Lord. They're elders, they're deacons, they've been recognized for the holiness of their walk, they've been recognized for the ministry that they continue to do. They're flawed individuals. But they are to be recognized in that capacity, to esteem them. Not say, I walked in and Dean didn't even look at me. I was at the back door one time and I knocked on it, but it was closed. I knocked on it, he opened it, and he said, go around. It's like, why should I walk around? Just open the door. Well, because we have a church thing. What happened was people started going to churches shooting them up, so we put some guys in place to make sure the church don't get shot up. And one of the ways we do that is if you show up late and he sees you, he's going to tell you to walk around. Well, that was rude. And I'll go to another church where they're not rude. Well, bye. I'm sorry. Did you think we were trying to grow a church here? Newsflash. Not my job to grow a church. God's job, grow a church. Ryan's job, give the word of God without apology. Without concern that I might hurt somebody's feelings. Teach the word. Chuck Smith put it this way. Simply teach the word simply. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will bring the increase. And now what always happens in the hearts of some people is they go, well, that's why you don't have a big church. Okay. Well, no, secretly, every pastor wants a big church, right? You obviously have spent no time with me. No, I'm really, really happy with as many people here. And the rent's pretty much, rent paid next month? Rent's paid next month, there you go. I asked the bookkeeper, she said it's paid, so we're good. I'm trying to lay this foundation strong for you. So the first thing is, you know what? The people that are here, if they've offended you, there's a real, real, real way to deal with that, and we're gonna get to that. But stop being so sensitive. The people that placed among you, the people that God's placed above you in the Lord, esteem them, cherish them, bless them. Don't complain about them. Don't trash them behind their back. Don't avoid them because they said something wrong to you. Maybe they're static. Maybe they're pragmatic. The static people, argh, the pragmatic people, argh, argh. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, why does he add that to the latter part of the same verse? It's very simple. Do you know what pastors hate dealing with? Anybody? What did we just talk about? Drama. Man, there is so much work to do. Listen, I wrote a list here. These are 10 things that are ministries and 10 things that are not ministries. You ready? 10 things that are ministries. Cutting food in the kitchen. Changing diapers. Wiping the tables in the youth hall and babies' rooms. Vacuuming the sanctuary. Driving someone to church who's not on your way. Paying the light bill or the water bill at your church. Cooking breakfast for the men of the church. Baking cookies for the ladies' ministry. Handing $10 in a prayer to the bum on the street corner. Picking up day-old bagels and pastries from Panera and bringing them to church. Those are ministries. They bless people. They do something. They accomplish something that most people will never see. The church is blessed by them. Good ministries. Now, obviously, the teaching of the word is ministry. The people that are teaching the children are ministry. Obviously, greeting at the door. These are not exclusive. These are the ministries. But these are ministries that a lot of people don't, either you take them for granted, or you don't realize that they're getting done without you. But let me give you 10 things that aren't ministries. You ready? This might shock some of you guys. Be prepared to be shocked. Sin sniffing the congregation. Not a ministry. Hey, I don't think those two people are married back there. Are you guys having sex? Oh, you're into sex sniffing now, huh? That was terrible. I am so, did not mean to come out like that. That's not a ministry. You're not helping nobody except yourself. Going around to all different churches. Some people have this thing they call community church. They go to this church on Sunday. They go to that church on Saturday. They go to this church on Wednesday. Hey, what are you doing there? You picking up bread? No, I just visit a lot of churches. I like to get the word of God a lot. Yeah, that's not ministry. You're not really in ministry then, are you? Yeah, and what are you talking about? I go to church like 5 times a week. Yeah, but what are you doing for the people of the Lord? I go to a lot of churches. Well, we have a saying, it was Chuck Missler that said, that's a fat Christian. Somebody who gives, who takes and gives nothing in return. They just get larger, but they don't give out. Some churches are like that too. They're a mile wide and 5 inches deep. And they could never. Could you imagine me preaching this message at Church by the Glades, Calvary, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Lauderdale First Baptist? No way. No people would be, oh my goodness! Did he just say that? Here's another thing that's not a ministry. Sending emails to the pastor about what he missed in the last sermon. You know what verse you should have brought up, right, Ryan? Yeah, I know, but why don't you come up to me after church and talk about it, all right? Because maybe I'd agree with you. Maybe I'm not as smart as I look. You're on that list too, Eric. Here's another one that's not a ministry. Reading Christian books. Have you ever read the book Wild at Heart? Have you ever read the book The Prayer of Jabez? Have you ever read the book The Purpose-Driven Life? Because let me tell you something. Those books will revolutionize your life. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm kind of in the middle of the book right now. Hey, you know what we do need? Man, last month, tithes were way down. We need somebody to pay the church electric bill. Well, I can't do that. Why not? I have a job, and I'm on a very tight budget. Well, why don't you stop reading some of them Christian books and get a part-time job and do that for your church? Why would I do that? Because it's your church. It's not my church. I don't make money from the church. It's not like my, well, I'm here. Congratulations, I'm your weekly entertainment. My name is Ryan. Let me shuffle for you. Come on. This is your church, man. What are you doing? Another thing that's not a ministry. Wearing Christian t-shirts. Having a dove or a fish on your car. Not ministry, guys. Anything wrong with those things? There's nothing wrong with any of these things. I don't mind an email. I don't mind people who go to a lot of churches. I love visiting other churches. I really, really do. I love meeting other Christians and seeing. You find out the craziest thing. People that are sincere Christians, when you meet them in any other state and anywhere, listen, it's a crazy thing. If you've spent a lot of time in any prayer meeting, you start to get this sense of the Spirit upon you. It's a beautiful feeling. And no matter where you spend time, I don't care what country you're in, what state you're in, when you get in a group and you join around and you start praying, you feel that warmth, that unity of the Spirit. And it's the same thing here as is being felt in Washington State or Washington, D.C., or wherever. It's the movement of the Holy Spirit. And you find out that there's people in other states and other countries, other churches that have that same Holy Spirit. And juxtaposed to that, though, you'll find out there's people that don't. People knock on my door every once in a while. Hi, we're from the Watchtower Society. Hey, how are you? Are you guys Christians? Yes, we are. Let me pray for you. And they run. No. I thought we were all Christians here, Mr. Jehovah Witness. You said you were from the Watchtower Society, right? Yes, well, that's Jehovah Witnesses, right? We don't call ourselves that anymore. It has a stigma. Gotcha. So let me pray. Since you're Christians and I'm a Christian, let me lay hands on you guys. Let me pray for you that, no, we can't do that. As soon as they say they can't pray with you, that should be the red flag. Yeah, they ain't there for the reason you think. Are you with me, guys? So none of these things that are ministries or aren't ministries are bad. But they are not ministries. And if that is your sole purpose in life, is to wear your Christian t-shirt, but you don't cut the bagels in the room, or to put a fish on the back of your car, but you got no time to serve in the children's ministry, what are you doing? You're kidding yourself. That's what you're doing. You've gotten stuck into church culture and not church service. Last couple of things. Telling someone at church your personal disagreements on how the church is run. Not a ministry. You know, it's kind of weird that he starts late every week. Like, he says the service starts at 10, and then he starts at 10:15, but today I don't think they start until almost 10:30. What do you think about that? I was at Bronx Bagels getting food, and I wasn't paying attention to the time. Sorry. Is that how you run a church? Sorry. That's how I run this church. Some days it's bad. Hey, but we could say this, and this is our favorite line. We're the church for people who don't like organized religion. Because we're unorganized. Oh, here's another one that's not a ministry. Critiquing the worship music at church. I don't like when, you know, I really like when Matthias leads worship. Matthias is really, you're very talented, Matthias. Are you going to play guitar soon? Because I like when you lead worship. Actually, I think Wednesday night. Aren't you leading worship Wednesday night? Wednesday night. There you go. So you can come back. So when we first started the church, we had this guy playing guitar. His name was JC. And JC, he didn't really play guitar. He tried. And JC would play guitar, and he like this. And he'd be fingering the wrong chords. And it was all dissident and out of key. And he'd sing. But he loved God. He worshiped God so intently. Bad musician, though. And we found out that people were coming in like a half hour late. And finally started asking, because we were new at this, like, why do you guys show up a half hour late every day? Don't like the worship at your church. Worship at your church is bad. And I was really confused on that. And because I really dug it. We used to do all Enter the Worship Circle stuff, and it was all just heart and soul. It wasn't musicianship. You know what I'm saying? And I talked to a friend of mine, Gus, who was at the time, he was my pastor. I said, Gus, these people, they keep showing up. I don't even know what to say to them, because I guess technically speaking, they're right. I said, what do I say to them? He said to me, tell them the worship's not for them.
They're there to
worship. I was like, I got you, man. I got you. He's like, what am I doing? Like, I'm placating these brats. I'm creating these... Oh, I'm sorry, did we not do the songs for God that you liked? And here's the crazy thing. People say, I can't get into the worship. What do you mean you can't? Who are you to get into the worship? Yeah, but it's really distracting because I'm... What are you not getting? We are here to sing songs to God. If you don't like the music or the musicians aren't good enough, what does it have to do with you? And this is what the dude told me. And I was like, It changed my life. Changed my life. It really did. I'm sorry, you got a quarter, we'll put it in the jukebox for you. I mean, what do you want me to do? Well, what I'll do is I'll hire somebody who'll sit up here and go like this. You don't want to find out what happens to those guys, man. You don't want to know. Shut up, Steve. Steve's like, you're on next week. He just said, shut up to me, I'm leaving. Here's another one that's not ministry. Elbowing your husband during the service to tell them why they should be listening. Listen to him, honey. Listen to him, honey. You should be more, no, that doesn't happen here. Why aren't you more like Bob? So, be at peace among yourselves. How does this happen? Keep your place here because we're going to come back. Turn to the left to Matthew chapter 18. This is going to be life-changing for some of you. The church that I grew up in, they had a way of handling situations and circumstances. Matthew 18, we're going to pick it up in 15. Everybody should know 18:15 of Matthew. Everybody. If you don't know it, please write it on your hand, tattoo it on your foot, whatever it is that's going, this will change your life. This will change our church. The church that I grew up in, they had a way of dealing things. You'd have to email your pastor. And after he emailed the pastor, he would hand it to an elder or a deacon. And then you can get called up and you could have this meeting. And you could talk about the things. Because there were so many people at that church. There's so much drama. And this is how they dealt with things. And when I was going through pastoral internship, I said, are you guys out of your mind? Don't you know you're going to be called to task for this? That is so non-biblical. You do not call the pastor and tell him that you had a problem with somebody. What should we do? Matthew 18? What do you mean, Matthew 18? Oh, my goodness. Mile wide, 6 inches deep. Now, if you'll notice in some of your Bibles, it's in red. That means that it's the Lord Jesus himself doing the talking. Moreover, if your brother, and I will add sister, sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Please give me your attention. You deal with one of those people that's static. You go to pick up your kids, and maybe they're filling out the paperwork, or you ask about your tithe report, and Julie snaps at you because she's so mean. You call him over to the side later on. You go, hey, could I get a word with you? You know, a couple of weeks ago, you said something to me, and maybe you don't realize how bad you came off. But what you don't do is tell Vero that someone did you wrong. You don't go and talk to Mickey and say somebody. You don't do that. You don't say, hey, I really disagree with what Ryan said. You know, Ryan said the N-word from the pulpit. I can't believe he said. Come to me, and if I somehow misunderstood or you misunderstood me, if I can't come up with a good reason, here's what you'll get. I am so sorry. Your life experiences and mine are different, and I certainly meant no harm. Please, please, please forgive me. I'm really good at that. I've done that now for the last 20 years. Apologies are in abundance. Because I'm constantly saying dumb things. But if you don't follow these things, do you know what happens? Schism in the body. Cliques in the body. Insurrection. Church split. Division. Well, I go to the Forge and I really like the way that guy preaches. Do you think someday he's going to take over the church? Maybe. You want to talk about it now? I don't know. Dean, what do you think? Should we let this guy be the pastor? Maybe somebody should tell Ryan. How come you don't ever let Todd preach? Now, some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, and I praise God for that. But some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It happens at every single church. Listen, I was at the same church for almost 15 years. Do you have any idea how many times I heard these things? Yeah, man, when Fidel taught, it was really good. How come he doesn't start a church? Yeah, man, when Jim taught, how come Stefan doesn't? Oh, my goodness! Bob's the pastor! Let the guy preach the word! Receive the word. Ask God to change your life. Stop trying to run the church. You ain't in Brooklyn anymore. For you guys that aren't getting this, I do apologize. For you guys that are getting it, as they say in the hood, you feel me, dog? You feel me, dog? This is really frustrating. So continuing, the Lord Jesus doesn't finish there. He says, if he hears you, you have gained a brother. So you come to me and say, Ryan, I can't believe you said the word WAP from the pulpit. That's really offensive. My family is Italian. And I go, hey, so is mine. I meant nothing by it. My mother used to call that to my father because my mother was Jewish. Sorry. It's over. Oh, man, you know what? You're right. It's cool. It should be over. It's over, right? Like as in done? However, what if I take that? I said, listen, that's your problem, not mine. Don't hang your chip on me, okay? I say whatever I want when I want. I'm the pastor of this church. Now, he says, but if he will not hear, verse 16, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So now, you hear somebody else talking about it. You know what? Generally, I don't like to gossip, but I kind of felt the same way you feel. Hey, Dean, would you and Steve join me? Because I do want to talk to Ryan about this again. Maybe he was in a bad place. So you guys come back up to me, all three of you guys. And I go, guys, you're right, man. You know, I got into an argument with my wife that morning, and I snapped at you about it. I'm sorry. Then it's over, isn't it? As in, done. But what if I go, you know what? All three of you guys, I think you guys are just trying to start troubling this church. No, I'm not going to repent. Why would I repent? As a matter of fact, you all can leave the church now because I'm the boss around here. Now, what do we do? And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. Tell it to the church. Now, because I'm using myself as an example, that's when you'd come to me. But here's what you do. Pastor Raz in Miami is my overseer. Pastor Ken in Maine is my overseer. And Pastor Jim Coy in North Carolina is my overseer. Jim Coy, Raz Vasquez, Ken Graves. You call them, you say, hey, here's what happened. They then call me and go, boy, Ken, boy, you done screwed up, boy. What are you talking about? A couple of your elders called me up, told me what happened. Did they tell you what they did? Not interested. Ryan, get your life together. Now watch what happens. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you a heathen and a tax collector. A heathen and a tax collector. Does anybody know how you're supposed to treat a heathen and a tax collector? A heathen, a non-believer, a tax collector. Somebody's on the government side and taking money out of your pocket. You know how you treat those guys, right? You love them into the kingdom. You just love on them. Now, that might be an opportunity for you to leave the church. That might be the time that God says, you know what? This guy's stubborn, hard-hearted. Brother, here's what I say. I was telling my buddy Eddie Abraham about this yesterday. We got this thing that we do. We call it go to heaven. You know how in the world you tell somebody, hey, man, go to hell. You know, in the church, hey, go to heaven. I'll see you in heaven, okay? I won't have to deal with you on earth anymore, so go to heaven. See you there. Sometimes you got to just tell people go to heaven. You do. You can't get along with everything. Some static people or some pragmatic people, you just can't get along with them, man. It's like they brought their drama in, they refused to leave it. So you just go to heaven, man. But let me tell you something. What I just read to you is life-changing, altering. You can do this. I don't care if you do this in the world, if you do this at work. If you do this, this will change your relationships. But here's the downside to this, and here's your fair warning. You can't do this halfway. If you're one of those guys like me that loves confrontation, he did what? I get to talk to him in his face. The Apostle Paul was like that. He actually said, I talked about this last week. He heard that Peter, Mr. Big Shot, Peter cut a guy's ear off, gonna kill people for the Lord, was being a Judaizer, and the Apostle Paul was like, he went up to Peter and goes, hey, Peter, what are you doing? You know, the Apostle Paul was from Brooklyn. I made that up. I made that last part up. He wasn't. But he did. The Bible says that he got in Peter's face and gave him a rash because he was starting to go and teach that you still had to keep some of the Jewish traditions and laws. And according to Scripture, according to chapter 8, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of Romans, we are free from the law. We don't keep the law. Not any of it. None of it. As a matter of fact, if you try to keep it, you diminish the sacrifice of Christ, God's Son. Oh, wow. So for those people that like confrontation, you can't just do one. If you start this process, you can't say to a guy, hey man, listen, what you did there was a little wrong. And if he don't repent, you go, you know what? What do I need you for? You don't. You can't. You now have to go, man, I gotta go have somebody else come and see you. Well, what's the alternative to going to talk to a guy face to face? There is an alternative. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. It is the glory of man to overlook a transgression. It is the glory of man to overlook a transgression. How many of you guys here have been married more than 15 years? How many times do you have to overlook a transgression? Every day? What happens if you don't? You ain't married more than 15 years. Guarantee that. If Papa and Faye were here, and I asked him, hey, how many times you overlook transgression? You know what Papa would say? That's what he'd say. He'd wave his hand at you. That's what you do. But she wronged me. She disrespected me. Did she cheat on you? No. Shut up. Leave it alone. Get over it. No, man, I'm a man. I'm not going to. Stop! You're not a man. You're a worm. That's what you are, a worm. You understand that? That's all we are. We're a bunch of maggots living in a dead world, eating the rotten flesh of this carcass we live in. That's all we are. And if we see ourselves as any more than that, we've missed the whole idea of dying to self. Christ, who is our sacrifice, all-powerful, almighty, instead of returning reviling for reviling, he let them. Listen, this is like the most amazing thing. When they put him on the cross to crucify him, they didn't have to tie his hand up and pull it. He went like this. He put it right down for them. Overlook it. Because if you don't overlook it, you got to Matthew 18 it. Well, what if I decide to do neither? What if I want to do that? You can, but then you just make a mess of your church. Your church. You made a mess of your house. Don't make a mess of your church. Change. Grow. Learn. Back to 1 Thessalonians. Hey, listen. This should not be a convicting time. This shouldn't be like, oh my goodness. This should be like, yes. Yes. I can do this. You can do this. This is not, wow, you failed. No. This is, yes, I can. We're having an Obama moment. Yes, we can. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Now here's the thing, guys. We at this church are really good at those things. I'm so proud and honored to be amongst such people who will find a need when it comes to making meals and helping people move. If there's money, you hear that somebody has a need. Somebody last week found out that somebody needed money for insurance. I didn't even pay it. I was like, I love that. So on one hand, I want to correct some of us for some of our, but on the other hand, listen, let me read that to you again, which you guys are so good at. Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil to evil for any evil to anyone, but always pursue it as good, both for yourselves and for all. And now, we're done. Close your Bible. Abrupt ending. I learned that from Ken Graves. If you ever go to Ken Graves' church, he has a philosophy. Read the word, explain the word, go home. You know, his church, he'll read, okay, here's what this means, and here's what this means, and then he goes, I'm done. I'm done. Or he'll say this, diggest thou that? Diggest thou that? Hey, it's the fine tuning we have to let God do. Don't get upset. Don't let this stuff sit in your craw and stick in it. If you want to talk to me, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. So is anybody else. This is an amazing, amazing place, and we're in an amazing, amazing time to be at church. I'll see you all at 6 o'clock tonight for worship on the beach. You guys that'll be there. It's a good time. If you've not been there, it's like, you guys are going to, listen to how rude I'm going to be right now. You want to see me be rude? Watch how rude I am. Matt, it's made for you this time, bro. It's one-on-one discipleship. It's ministry. I'm telling you, every week I'm out there, I'm like, I look at your mom, and I'm like, why isn't Matt here? This is what he does, man. This is what he does, one-on-one. You talk to, you anywhere with Matt, in 15 minutes, he's inviting somebody to church. Or more than that, and more important than that, he's inviting them to the Lord Jesus. It's what he does with all his faults and weaknesses and all the ways he messed up his daughter. I mean that sincerely. We all, we're all just weak. We just messed up our kids. I love you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word, God, and to let your word correct me and not use your word as a cudgel, but as a pillow, God. Not to let your word today be a fire, God, but an anchor for our very soul. Lord, we love you, and we receive your correction and your instruction. We allow you to look into the depths of our heart and change us. Forgive us, God, for us that have brought drama, for have brought our brokenness, for have... We had unreal expectations, God. We should have known better. We should have known better, God. Thank you, God, that you are our good, good Father. You're our Abba Daddy. Daddy, please help us to continue to grow in you in the grace and the knowledge of who we are in you. Help us to love the brothers and sisters, please. They need it, and we need to do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name, beautiful name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.